confronting the crisis of our republic, waging war on the new world order. This is Govern America. Govern America.
Just south of the Great Lakes capital city, covering all of North America via satellite, micro FM stations all across the country, and streaming live from FEMA Region 5 and Michigan Planning Region 2. This is Govern America. I'm Darren Weeks, your host here for the next 3 hours, along with Vicki Davis. Nice to have you with us as we once again document the crisis of our republic, the undermining of our national, state, and individual autonomy. And today is the 17th of June, 2017. And greetings to all the folks all around the world. And across the country. Good morning, Vicki.
Good morning.
Hey, how you doing?
Just fine, thanks. All ready to go.
All right, very good. Yeah, there's a lot going on. I tell you what, I sit here and week after week and do the prep for this show, and it just never ceases to amaze me. You just literally could not ever get, unless you did a daily show, and I think even then you'd struggle.
Well, you'd have to have a team of a dozen people to get you all of the important news, because there's a lot of junk out there, a lot of distraction. But there's a lot of important things that are reported in the news, but you have to pick through all the brown stuff to get to the nuggets, the golden nuggets, you know.
Picking through the brown stuff, that's what we do on a given week. Yeah, well, you got to try to decipher, and some of it your discernment has to be well intact in order to be able to know what's what, because we are living in this post-Smith-Mundt era. We've talked a lot about this on the broadcast. It is now considered legal. The Smith-Mundt Act made it illegal for the Broadcasting Board of Governors to propagandize the American people. And they have eliminated that Smith-Mundt Act protections. So now we are literally open to be propagandized. Not that they weren't doing it before. They've just kind of legitimized everything.
Yeah, it's a little more overt at this point. Globalization, it's a management system. I was thinking about this morning. But people don't view it as a management system and a conversion project. But that's what we're living through, is the conversion project. And so, you know, there's a lot of noise out there, mostly noise. Very, very few people that really get to the heart of the issue and, you know, to give out information that would lead people to understand the whole big picture, the global picture of what's going on.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we're trying to do that here for the next 3 hours. And by the way, in the final hour today, we're going to be visiting with Ron Stevens, if everything goes as planned. He has a talk show over at UCY TV, and he's going to be joining us in the final hour to kind of talk about, you know, kind of basically ride shotgun with us. And talk about a lot of stuff that's going on in our country as well. From his perspective, I understand how he was just saying yesterday that he has gone to court with, over Michael Schmidt, who is a raw milk farmer up there. So hopefully he'll have an update. The raw milk people, the farmers, the stores, dairy stores and that, all across our country, but up there as well, have been fighting with the governments to get them to, you know, basically leave us alone and let us give people what they want. You know, it's one thing that if you're providing an unsafe product, but these are not unsafe products, especially in the case where, you know, you have clientele in certain cases that are willing to accept a risk if there is one, and just so that they can buy raw milk or cheese made with raw milk or some other dairy product that's made with raw milk in order to get the health benefits of it.
Yeah, well, you know, I think in Idaho, they were always able to sell raw milk. My parents bought some when I was a kid. I hated it personally. But I think the problem is when you try to cross state lines with it. Because then you get into interstate commerce.
Yeah.
And so,
well,
you know, that's when the feds come in and shut you down.
Well, I don't, yeah, and the thing is that a lot of these people sell products, and how do we know if they cross state lines? I mean, there's no way you can control that. If they're selling products and people are coming from out of state, they're going to cross state lines. So, I mean, I don't think the government really even needs a legitimate reason to do this. They just do it, and that's the problem.
Well, they have to keep control. You know, and
they seem to think anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway, one thing I wanted to follow up on is this Paris pullout. We've been talking a lot about that on the broadcast, Vicki, and I warned people that this is coming down the pipe, that your local governments are going to sell you out. Well, strangely enough, of all places, the BBC actually covered this, you know, from the standpoint of the mayors.
The White House has defended Donald Trump's decision to pull the U.S. out of the Paris Climate Agreement. Administration officials say it's now up to other world leaders to decide whether to sit down and negotiate a new deal. Speaking at the White House, Environment Secretary Scott Pruitt refused to say whether the president still believed climate change was a hoax and described withdrawing from the agreement as a brave decision. Well, in a snub to the president, some U.S. cities and states have said they will still cut emissions in line with the Paris Agreement, despite the U.S. withdrawal. Here's the former mayor of New York, Michael Bloomberg.
Americans don't need Washington to meet our Paris commitment, and Americans are not going to let Washington stand in the way of fulfilling it. That's the message that mayors, governors, and business leaders across the United States have been sending. So today, I want the world to know the U.S. will meet our Paris commitment.
And there has been harsh reaction around the globe. India, China, and the European Union have restated their commitment to the accord. From Brussels, Damian Grammaticus reports.
In the fight against global warming, and just hours after Donald Trump retreated, enter new leaders, the EU and China. Apart from the US, these are the world's other two economic heavyweights, prompted by President Trump to act in concert.
What we're seeing here with this joint reaction to Donald Trump's statement is striking, not just for the swiftness, but also for the message it sends. At a time when the US, under President Trump, is withdrawing from global leadership on climate change, instantly the EU and China are stepping in to take up that mantle. It's a striking global change that could herald a decline in U.S. influence.
A decline in U.S. influence. So in other words, if you don't commit national suicide, economic suicide on a national scale, then you won't have any world influence. I mean, that's just such a contradiction in terms.
Yeah. Well, if you look at who the mayors are of all of our largest cities, they basically are either criminals or communists, one or the other. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, across the whole country, whether you're talking about San Francisco or Chicago or Detroit or New York. Mayor Bloomberg, he was involved with the Climate 40 conference some years back, and that was all about climate change. But they're all the big businesses are looking at the China market to sell environmental technology. That's what they're making their big bet on.
Yeah.
And China is holding out their market, you know, like a carrot, or, you know, like a rabbit for these, you know, the mechanical rabbit for greyhounds. They're just keeping them spinning, keeping it going, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Till the conversion of the United States is complete to the global management system. I mean, that's what this whole agenda is, climate change. It is the marketing concept for conversion to global governance.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sorry. I was a little distracted. Somebody had posted a comment in the chat room about the website not coming up, so I just had to make sure that it was there. I got it to come up. It did seem to come up kind of slowly, but if you're having trouble, try it again. I thought we might be being interfered with, Vicki, but
it's possible.
It doesn't look like that's a case at the moment. Anyway, yeah, I mean, it's all about the business. It's always been about the money and the control, and the businesses are allowed to do the control, do the money thing, so that the establishment behind the scenes can pull off their little control mechanisms, and certainly that's what this is all about. But you know, the thing that worries me here, and this goes to this congressional shooting this past week and all the chaos that's happened. You wrote an article which we'll talk about. Budget time is terror time, and that's very important, going back to the money as well. Certainly, more of these terror events can have the justification for increasing budgets and that sort of thing. The thing that worries me...
budget incentive. Just consider them budget incentives.
Justifications. Incentives. Interesting. But the thing that bothers me more than anything here is I see civility collapsing. I see the social contract, which we've relied upon since we've been a country, and of course, it's broken down before, but I see it breaking down in a massive, massive scale to the point where it's going to become unsafe for people. And I see it already happening. It's really already happening.
Yeah, well, that's exactly the same thing that happened over in the Soviet Union and, you know, the stands when the Soviet Union collapsed. Mm-hmm. That's what happened. You have a breakdown of law and order. And we already have the breakdown of law. Our justice system is non-functional. They operate against the interests of our country.
Before I go to that, though, and I've got a story here that just illustrates this perfectly. But one more thing on this Paris climate thing. These mayors that are pulling this off, that are going behind the scenes, negotiating with foreign powers, how is this not a violation of the Logan Act?
Very good question. Well, the Logan Act, is it the Logan Act or the Constitution?
Well, I would say both, but the Logan Act, you know, they don't care about the Constitution. But the Logan Act, I mean, prohibits, there's imprisonment for people who negotiate with foreign governments, which has a dispute with the United States. How is it that these mayors can go behind the scenes and negotiate things? I think that they're on thin ice. I think, really, Jeff Sessions should look at prosecuting the mayors. Of course, I don't think that's likely to happen because the administration is already under so much fire that they would say, you know, the media would just clamor and say that they're going after their political enemies.
Well, they'll never succeed on the defensive. You only win on the offense.
Good point.
And so if he doesn't do that, then, you know, he might as well just throw in the towel now and resign.
Yeah.
Because they'll keep coming after him.
I don't see that happening. I don't think Trump will resign unless Trump absolutely has to resign.
Well, then he better go on the offensive. Because he better understand the bigger picture. You can't formulate a strategic plan if you don't understand the big picture going all the way down to ground level, and that's what they have to do. That's.
Mm-hmm. Well, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay. I thought you may have cut out on me. We're trying something a little bit different today, ladies and gentlemen. We have Vicky on a different Skype account to facilitate guests on the other one. So I just wanted to give people that heads up in case I do hear a little bit more noise than I normally do. And I don't know where that's coming from. Maybe I can do something about that over time. But for the most part, it's working fairly well. Actually, it's working better than it was when we tested it, which is really strange. normally, it's the opposite.
We'll find out how it's really going to work when we have Ron on.
That's right, in the third hour. Exactly. Well, I was talking a moment ago about the breakdown in civility. I want to come back to that here for just a moment. Because even with the cops, you know, the batoning of people, the beating people on the side of the road, the step up in the police state activity, and then, you know, years ago, on this broadcast, when Nancy was hosting with me, we did a story on the subject of the police telling, conducting a drill, a hijacking drill, if I remember correctly, on a school bus full of students, terrorizing these students and saying, you know, that they were being kidnapped and all this. The bus was being hijacked. And they never told anybody. I don't even know if the school bus driver knew. And I remember telling Nancy at the time, I think we're crossing the threshold into a world where fiction, fantasy, is being blurred with reality. And then we have this situation after that at a school board meeting where, without telling anybody at the school board meeting, the police busted in, and it was an active shooter event, except that it wasn't an active shooter event. They just decided not to tell anybody they were going to do a drill that day. And since that time, these incidents have become more and more and more prominent. And now we have another case, another example of this very thing. This past week.
Only on 9, a group of local teenagers at a leadership meeting say they were traumatized when they thought a member had been kidnapped.
I completely believed it. When you have 6 state troopers screaming in your face telling you this girl's been taken.
But tonight, we found out it was all a drill gone terribly wrong. The teenagers say for about a half an hour, they were led to believe that their friend had been taken. Good evening, I'm Greg Warman.
And I'm Martha Sagalski. It all happened while the teenagers were in Tallahassee for a camp. Channel 9's Jeff Deal joining us live right now. And Jeff, you spoke with a counselor who was with those girls. She says even she wasn't told it was a drill.
Yeah, she had no idea this was going to happen. And this is part of a program that's been going on around the country for about 80 years. In the brochure we found online, it describes it as inspirational, educational, life-changing, and fun. But the counselor we spoke with said for many girls who were in the program put on by the Florida chapter this year, it was traumatizing.
This YouTube video highlights the Girls State Program in Tallahassee, a program put on by the American Legion Auxiliary Department of Florida to help girls from across the state build leadership skills and confidence and to better understand government.
Everyone who's going is the top of their class.
Cameron Carlisle was selected as a delegate for the camp last year. This year, she went back as a counselor.
If I can go back as a counselor and make a change in 25 girls' lives, that's something I definitely wanted to do.
But this time, she says it was a horrible experience. She says Tuesday night, the girl state director and 6 female state troopers decided to do a mock abduction unbeknownst to anyone else at the camp, pulling aside a girl from her group on the way back to the dorms and hiding her.
We started doing the count off and we got to 8 and we realized Katrina was missing.
Carlisle says the troopers screamed at her and later at the other girls, telling them the missing girl had been kidnapped, likely sold as a sex slave to human traffickers.
I still will never forget that feeling of just that's totally my fault and now I have to tell her parents that she was taken.
She says the teens, all around 17 years old, were crying. One girl had actually been involved in a real sex trafficking case when she was younger, and many didn't learn until about a half hour later the missing girl was safe.
I think I had 17 girls who did not sleep on the last night of Girl State and completely traumatized.
And the director of the program hung up on one of our other reporters who called to try to get comment. They have not called me back either to comment. FHP is calling this a training exercise, but says it is aware of this situation and it is under review. Reporting live in Orlando, Jeff Deal, Channel 9 Eyewitness News.
Can you believe this?
Yeah, that's monstrous to do that.
This is nothing short of terrorism. This
yes,
is terrorism.
Uh-huh. And, well, our police are being turned into paramilitary, and we do have teams of people, like the Viper, like I mentioned last week,
mm-hmm.
the Viper teams.
Yeah.
Now, those are supposedly for transportation hubs, but they're supposed to respond to terrorism calls, you know, terrorism calls. And they can just as easily, you know, when they're doing their training, they can just as easily engage in a terrorist event as they can stop a terrorist event.
Yeah.
All in the name of training.
And then we have this situation where this Broadway play, well, it's a play anyway, where Shakespeare in the Park, I guess it's probably not Broadway, Shakespeare in the Park rendition of Julius Caesar, where they're...
Yeah, they used to do that in Manhattan, Shakespeare in the Park.
Well, in this case, they got a little spin on it. They got Trump in there, that they're staging basically a mock Trump assassination. Now, regardless of what you think about the president, how did they get away with staging a mock assassination without Secret Service intervening and investigating what they're doing here? I mean,
yeah,
you know,
Congressmen. I mean, they should have arrested all of the people involved with the production of that play.
Here we have Congress critters being gunned down, and whether or not this is real, I mean, who knows if this is staged, another staged event. I know a lot of people are going to say that it is. I don't know if it is or not. I see no evidence one way or the other so far that lets me think it's staged. So I have to assume it's a real event.
Yeah, well, besides, he was the majority whip.
Yeah, well, he got whipped, all right. Apparently, he's in critical condition. And, but they, you know, and of course, it's not just him. It's, and we're talking about House Majority Whip Steve Scalise. He is a Congress critter from Louisiana. He's also, there's also, what was it? There was an aide. There was a lobbyist there. I'm trying to find the list of people that were gunned down, but there were a number of them that were shot. Anyway, this event happens, and there was a lot of talk about the role in the media in the shooting. And I even actually heard somebody in the media actually say that free speech is dangerous. And I think that that's a very dangerous meme to put out there. Because the heightened rhetoric is from the media itself. And I do think the media has a responsibility because they're literally making people crazy. They're literally making people insane. I mean, this rhetoric has ratcheted up to the point where people have really got hate in their heart. And so you get some borderline person here, and the New York Times has a role to play in this, by the way. Because the New York Times actually reported where the location was going to be, and this guy actually moved to the area in April after apparently reading in the New York Times security details. They published in an article, in fact, I have the article right in front of me, a who's who list of agencies guarding the powerful. And the New York Times published information, which this guy apparently read in the New York Times. And so he moved to April and waited you know, frequented the Y across the street from this ballpark, waiting for this game to happen.
Do you remember in the 1990s when the newspapers, and the New York Times was one of them, when they were publicizing all the different ways that our country could be attacked by terrorists? I mean, it was like they were giving them the laundry list, you know, show some creativity, get out there and commit some terrorism, and here's the way you do it.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
I don't remember that specific thing, but it doesn't surprise me.
Well, I remember because I was appalled that they were that they would publicize that kind of information. I mean, you know, people don't really need help with creative ideas for terrorism.
And where is this going to lead? I mean, I could see regulations being put on the press at some point down the road. Because listen, they've done it already abroad. All of these leaks keep getting out there.
Well, if we're going to harmonize our laws with the global management system, you know, I think the United States is one of the only countries that really has a right to free speech, freedom of the press. So they've got to shut that down, too.
I think the regulations are going to come. I really do. Because these scumbags in the media can't police themselves. They can't regulate.
They're doing it on purpose. They're operatives. They're not regular media people.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
Well, they're going to push for it. Because, really, the goal is controlling you and me and all of the other independent outlets out there that are trying to get the truth out. If they can regulate the big guys, they can regulate us.
Absolutely.
Licensing, I think, is coming. I hate to say it. All right, we're at the bottom of the hour already. Much, much more to come. This is Govern America. And you can call in if you want, 844-646-8376. Toll free, 844-6-GOVERN, 844-646-8376. And we'll be back in a moment.
I have just been informed that the alleged shooter at the Republican baseball practice this morning is someone who apparently volunteered on my presidential campaign. I am sickened by this despicable act, and let me be as clear as I can be. Violence of any kind is unacceptable in our society, and I condemn this action in the strongest possible terms.
That's Bernie Sanders. Welcome back to the broadcast here. Apparently the shooter, of course, as you just heard, was a Bernie Sanders supporter and a huge leftist. And it seems now that what's going on right now, Vicky, is that the civil war that we've been predicting here is getting underway. It's gone hot. I mean, already we're having bullets fly in the air against Republicans, against conservatives, and it's not just this congressional baseball game. The race war is largely leftists against conservatives in many respects, and I've got a lot of other examples of certain things that have happened around the country. This isn't just going on in Washington, D.C. This is going on everywhere. There have been a number of incidents this past week that should give us all a lot of concern. Now, before the break, we were talking about the media's role in all of this, and I think Greg Feld of the he's a panelist on the Five. He offered this analysis.
Right now, the country is going through a period of anxiety because we have a large faction that refuses to accept the reality of the presidency. Under this weird cloud, people are acting strangely. And I know that capitalism and free markets, they don't advocate revolution, but socialism does. Socialism has always advocated revolution. Radical leftism has always advocated violent revolution. So this guy was essentially radicalized by the left-wing media. He was radicalized. He was troubled. He was a violent, disgusting human being. But he ingested this information. But we can call it as instruction. Yeah, exactly. But you look at the campus free speech stuff that's going on right now, the riots at Berkeley, the Antifa. There was a woman in Harrisburg over the weekend that took a pole with a nail at the end of it and attacked the police horse with this pole, stabbing it in the neck. That's Antifa. These are the anti-fascists. These are the anti-fascists. These are the people that are saying the other side is evil. But that point justifies their destructive and deadly behavior.
This is a civil war. What do you think, Vicky?
Well, yeah, I totally agree. And it kind of makes you wonder why police are not arresting these people. So that tells you that they're getting their instructions from whoever they're working for, which would seem to be the mayors of the cities, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so, and that's what I'm talking about, you know, in terms of looking, analyzing what is the strategic battlefield, you know, what's happening and where are the, where's the direction coming from? And I don't think you can dismiss that fact. And as a matter of fact, in listening to one of the hearings last week, one of the budget hearings, one of the Democrat congresswomen was really quite upset about their cities possibly losing funding because they won't cooperate with the feds in terms of holding illegal aliens that should be deported. You know, the sanctuary city issue.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's definitely people are being maneuvered into positions where they almost have to fight, almost, you know.
And again, the sanctuary city thing is another issue where federal law makes it, you know, a felony to harbor illegals. Why aren't these people?
Nobody ever gets arrested, do they?
No, they don't. Which, if you fail to act at a certain point, it makes you complicit, in my opinion. And so
absolutely.
The administration should be acting on this. Now, I realize there'll be a lot of crying, a lot of outcry, but honestly, who cares? Because honestly, it's just like a lot of people, you know, I had an email from News with Views picked up my article yesterday, and I got an email from a guy who says, you don't understand politics. And I said, you know, in the article, and he didn't really address anything in the article. And I said, you know, I've been at this longer than you think. You know, I'm not an overnighter here. You know, the thing is that a lot of people are not. I lost my train of thought now.
Well, people are wrapped up in politics, and it's a Punch and Judy show. But there are master puppeteers above both political parties. And they are engineering this whole show. And the people who are so immersed in the political party politics, they don't even see the bigger picture.
Okay, I remember now what I was going to say. Why throw a bone to the other side? That's the point. I mean, where Trump is pulling out and saying we're going to renegotiate our way back in, he's doubled down again recently, his administration has, saying it again, if the Democrats want to renegotiate a deal on this climate issue, then we'll do that. There's no point in negotiating a deal. Is this what we elected him for? Is this what the people of the country that voted for him elected him for? No, it was the exact opposite of that.
Right.
And if we in the alternative media, if we're lapdogs of the administration, if we don't hold his feet to the fire, do you think the establishment press will? No, of course not. This is exactly where they want it to go. So their criticism, while, yeah, they're brutal and they're relentless, but it's always off point. We have to make our message on point. We have to hold his feet to the fire, but in the way he needs to be held to the fire.
Well, he, I'm he did the same thing with the NAFTA agreement. You know, it's like he was throwing out bones to the base when he was during the campaign, and he makes big statements, but then he turns around and does the opposite. He does the globalist thing exactly as Hillary would have done.
Yeah.
It's just that his rhetoric was different.
And isn't it funny that he came out in his campaign afterwards and said, I'm a globalist as well as a nationalist.
Yeah, they are creating chaos. It's part of the destabilization of the country to where you can't really trust anybody or anything. And that is a psychological operation, and it is absolutely intentional.
Now, you may not believe, you know, a lot of the listeners out there may not believe in the Bible. But the Bible does have something to say about this. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You can't be both a nationalist and a globalist. It's a contradiction of terms. Now, you can be a nationalist and not be an isolationist. And if that's what he's saying, then that's one thing. But you can't be a globalist, because globalism isn't the antithesis of nationalism. Globalism ultimately leads to an elimination of the nation states.
Exactly.
And we don't want that. And that's not what the American people voted for him to do.
And you know what? I've been listening to Alex Jones for the past, I've been listening to him for quite a while. Over the past couple of weeks, he is such a tool. He's so easy. All the mainstream media has to do is mention his name, and he is such a narcissist that sets him off for the next 2 weeks, and it's all Alex Jones all the time.
Well, it's kind of the way
Meanwhile,
it's always been.
These budget hearings that I've been listening to, they are so important, you know, so important, because that's where you hear what the agenda is going to be. Despite Donald Trump's rhetoric, you know, despite what our politicians are saying in public, it's in the budget hearings where you can hear what the real plan is. And one thing that they're talking about doing, that they're going to try to do, is to create an independent agency out of the FAA, the
Federal Aviation Administration.
Yeah, to create an independent agency out of it, which is just like the Federal Reserve, which is just like Obamacare, which is just like Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. They are basically deconstructing our government by creating these independent agencies, and what we will have left by the time that they're done is merely the facade of a national government. But there will be no real national government there.
Yeah, if they came out and said, we're eliminating the national government, can you imagine the backlash they would incur?
Oh, yeah.
So they have to do it by stealth. It's just like this North American
Union. That's exactly what they're doing. And you know what else? That is the same system of organization that the City of London uses. I do believe that they are trust companies. The livery companies are trust companies. And the creation of an independent agency, of which the airlines will be a part, you know, for the FAA, where they will regulate themselves, they are really creating a trust.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we need is a trust buster to break up all of these trusts.
Yeah.
But this system originates with the City of London.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's exactly what Roosevelt was fighting in the 1940s.
Yeah, I think their plan is long overdue. I mean, from their standpoint, this baby was supposed to be in place decades ago. And here we are in the 21st century, and they still haven't got it done. So the insanity, the complete, total chaos, order out of chaos. And that is exactly where we're headed, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you what, the American people had better not give up their guns. because this is going to be your only hope.
The trust is the monopoly. The trust is the monopoly on whatever the industry is. And in terms of the FAA, it will be the monopoly that controls the airports, the air traffic control. But what they're calling it in other language is, quote, the market.
Mm-hmm.
It's the market that's the monopoly. It is the market that is the trust.
Dictatorship of the market.
Yes.
But the markets are all rigged.
But when they when they say market, people don't understand that they're not talking about the market in the way that we think of the market. They are the market in this new globalist language is the monopoly, is the trust.
Mm-hmm. There you go. All right, call from Texas. Hello, caller. Who do we have here?
Yeah, Darren, Vicky, this is Alan once again.
Hey, Alan, good to have you on.
Kind of becoming a pest, but
no, you're not a pest.
Vicky said something a little bit earlier, and I just thought I'd call in and give someone a good source. The guy is now dead. Is by the name of Jim Keith, wrote a book called "Mass Control: Engineering Human Consciousness," and I've read a lot of different books on a lot of different subjects. And Jim Keith, I think, in this book pretty much puts it at it's very easy to read, very easy to understand. He lays out, you know, how they did the whole, you know, the MKUltra program, all the subtle mind control that's been being done to us, you know, for centuries now, more, you know, longer than that even. You know, if you believe this is our first go-around on the planet, I don't think it. You know, I think they've been screwing with us since time immemorial. And you know, it's amazing that we haven't been able to break out of this stupor yet, because you know it becomes so apparent, and the world becomes, you know, so debauched and so, you know, amoral, immoral, whatever you want to call it. You know, I know there are good people out there. How do they not? It just drives you crazy. You know, how do good people, you know, that you know are good people, let themselves be manipulated? And even I get caught up, you know, how do they do it? How do they do it? And it's like I think back, you know, I'll go back and I'll read through, you know, part of Jim's book. And it just kind of sets it all in place again. We are so easy to control because we are a human animal, and animals, you know, can be trained, and we like our comfort spaces and our easy, you know, ways of going through life and everything, and they know that, and they know exactly how to play us.
Well, part of the problem, too, is a lot of people are just decent people, and they don't want to think that there's these monsters out there that engage in these types of manipulative activities every single day. We generally want to believe in the best of people. Even I think people on the other side, you know, by that I mean the other, you know, the more Democrat type of people. They've bought into a lot of this so-called progressive ideology, and they believe naively so that it's based on benevolence. They believe that it's based upon some higher value. You know, we're progressing, we're evolving, people are getting more rights, people are getting more respect. You know, and the whole transgender bullcrap, which is nothing more than cultural Marxism and the deconstruction of our society. I mean, when you can't figure out which bathroom you're going to go into, it's pretty much... you know, Western civilization is pretty much on the skids. I mean, how are you going to solve your greater problems when you can't figure out which restroom to use? I mean, that's pretty basic.
I will have to agree. You know, I believe that, you know, I like to believe that most of the people out there are still good people, you know, and that's why there's not, you know, just bloodshed in the streets already. Because, you know, I mean, there's a lot of, you know, a lot of people out there out here in these rural areas like where I live, you know, that own firearms and grew up with them and know how to use them and know what they do, you know. They understand the, you know, the purposes that are behind them, and they understand, you know, the end results of it, and they don't want to see that. But, you know, I am really amazed that the good people out there, that it's just not become so obvious that they're just starting to snap. You know, whether this guy in Virginia, you know, was real or not, you know, he's a Bernie supporter, you know, he's in that whole political thing, letting that sway him. But who knows? You know, this could be a, you know, you remember the phrase, Darren, the goose is in the noose. You remember the D.C. police chief standing up and saying that? What relevance did that have anything to say with anything that they were talking about? And what, 2 hours later, these guys are caught on a roadside park asleep in their car? You know, it was an MK-Ultra, you know, release, you know, phrase. And you know, that one was so blatant to see. But, you know, I know that they've got technologies now where they don't have to have the release phrase. They just hit you with a certain specific frequency that's, you know, tuned to you, and that sets you off and really, and, you know, and kicks you out of it.
Well, it makes you wonder what are the role of these pharmaceutical drugs, too? Because they're so prevalent. Oh, yeah. We've got a bunch of walking zombies. We probably got a society full of sleepers, and we don't even know it. And by sleepers, I don't mean Muslims coming into the country. I'm talking about ordinary Americans that were here, but they're on these psychotropic drugs, so they're stoned out of their mind. They could end up waking up any day and going off on somebody. So a lot of this stuff, yeah, I think, it's drug-induced. Because it makes people more susceptible to violence, more susceptible, where before we might think through things in a more logical way. These drugs alter neuropaths in the brain to the point where people aren't able to think clearly anymore.
Yeah.
I think it affects the trigger mechanism in your brain. What is... the trigger. I mean, you can only take so much. You know, sometimes I get so frustrated that I feel like I could just go ballistic.
But you don't go ballistic. That's the key.
No.
Because you're a good person.
Yeah. But I feel like it, and maybe it depends on the type of person that you are, and if you have the means and methods and whatever. Then maybe something like that could set you off.
It's the difference between having psychosis and not having psychosis. Being able to restrain yourself, being able to be logical about things, and being able to pull back from getting so involved in the rhetoric, so involved in the matrix of, what would you call this thing? This cloud of craziness that's going on around us, you pull back from it and just say, and put things into proper perspective. Okay, let me get my bearings about where I'm at here.
Yeah. Well, you know what, though? I do think that they don't just, what they do with people is that they give them something to do. It's just that what they give them to do is totally ineffective. Like, you know, here in this area, they have, they tell everybody, you know, you got to work locally, and constitution classes and all of the rest of this nonsense. Well, none of that does any good if the management system that is being built is global.
Yes.
And, you know, in your local area, you might be able to stop one little thing, but it will not affect the world. What we need are some national leaders and a national organization. And to be able to fight this thing, not as a military war, but as a management war, you know, with strategic plans and having people watch what's going on and be able to strategically counter what's going on. But if they don't approach it in a military management, using strategic and logistics and all kinds of things like that, everything but bullets. We will just lose our country. They will gut our country, and then it will collapse. We will have a failed state, and they will reorganize and stand up the country divided into four sections, as independent states, the same as they did in the Soviet Union. And that's what drives me nuts, is that if you look and see what they did in the Soviet Union, you can see the parallels here. Mm-hmm. And that's true in other countries as well. It's true in Europe. you can see the parallels. Yeah. If you rise above and look at it, you know, look at it from outside the bubble of being an American.
Objectively, yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Alan. You were going to say something?
I could say lots of things, Darren, you know, and this conversation could go on for months, you know. But unfortunately, you know, it would be nice, Vicki, you know, if that could occur. But then there's always that threat of who's got the big guns, who's got the actual power that can do physical damage, not just political damage or anything like that. To, you know, that's what it ultimately comes down to, you know, whether it's, you know, Pol Pot in Cambodia, you know, if you wear glasses, you're Western influence, you're dead. You know, at what point does it come to when the good people of this country who don't want this in their lives, who don't, you know, just want to be able to live peaceably, at what point does the rubber band snap? You know, I'm not calling for anything because that's the last thing I want to see, because I know what the ultimate end of firearms do. Like I said, I shot my first deer when I was 6 years old. I learned very early what a bullet can do, you know, what damage can be done. That's why when I see things like this Orlando shooting, you know, last year where the guy's carrying his friend back and forth up the street, you know, and he says, oh, I had to pull my bandana off, and, you know, and he got shot in the leg, and there was blood squirting everywhere. I know what happens when you're actually trying to help someone, you know, that's been shot.
Yeah.
You know,
that whole event.
My best friend, my dog, in the face a while back, and there was blood all over me. Yeah, you know, and this guy's spotless clean, you know, so I know, I can tell, you know, I can't say 100% that, you know, things are false or true.
I can.
But, you know, I've got a real good understanding. Yeah, I've got a real good understanding.
That one was definitely staged.
What's truthful and what's not.
Yeah, there was a problem there. Now, Omar Mateen may have been involved in something, and I think the police scanner, if I remember correctly, indicated that there was an incident at the hospital, not the Pulse Club there. But when you've got people injured, and you can go on Google Maps and see the layout of the street, and they're carrying the victims toward the club and not away from him, you know something's bad wrong here. The victims were actually being carried on the news footage. If you look at the layout of the land, you look at the businesses in the background, the direction they were carrying the victims was toward the club, not away from the club. Now, why would you carry victims anywhere? That's point number one. I mean, you're going to leave them there if they're not in any harm. You're going to leave them there until the medical personnel can get there and deal with them. Because you're only going to cause more problems by moving people around for no apparent reason. But no, they're carrying them, but they're carrying them toward the club.
Okay, you know what? In the research that I did, I found out that the economic development.
Hey, hold on, guys. We got to take the break. Let me keep your thoughts in place, Vicki. I'll hold you over, Alan. Hang on, folks. We'll be back in a moment.
Right,
hour number two is straight ahead.
Crisis of our republic, waging war on the new world order. This is Govern America. Govern America.
From just south of the Great Lakes capital city, covering all of North America via satellite, micro FM stations all across the country, and streaming live from FEMA Region 5 and Michigan Planning Region 2, this is the second hour of Govern America. It continues to be the 17th of June, 2017. Greetings to all the folks listening to us on UCY.TV. Glad to have you along. All the folks listening to us on American Voice Radio Network and Liberty News Radio. Glad to have you along, as well as all the folks over there on all of the micro stations that carry the broadcast around the country. Thank you so much for being there, and the people listening to us on the various streams. Glad to have all the folks here all across the country and around the world. We're talking about this shooting that took place and the general collapse of civility that's engaging or seemingly going on all around us. Things seem to continually being... We seem to be on a downward spiral. Western civilization seems to be collapsing, and people are losing their minds, they're losing their humanity, And before the break, I think, Vicki, you were just about to say something when I very rudely interrupted you.
The breaks have a way of doing that.
Yeah, the clock. Yeah. It's a dictator.
What I was going to say is that when I researched the Orlando shooting, what I found is that the economic development plan for that district that Orlando is in, they needed money for their 911 system. Mm-hmm. And I didn't get beyond that point with the Orlando research. But just recently, after I wrote the last thing I wrote, this friend of mine who reads my stuff voraciously, she left in there information about an organization called FirstNet.gov. Well, it turns out that FirstNet is another independent agency, and what the strategy is for a national combined emergency 911 network.
Wow.
So that they're all on the same network. So can you imagine that? You know, they worry about the electric grid and it going down.
Yes.
And how insecure that would make us. Well, think about a consolidated, integrated emergency 911 network.
And what a big target that would be.
Yeah, well, and how convenient it is. I mean, because you could have, John Brennan's disposition matrix, where he's got a list of people that are targets. Okay, everybody every now and again has an emergency. You call emergency 911, and what shows up at your door is a Viper team or a team of assassins. I mean, it's perfect. Absolutely perfect. You know,
perfect.
Consolidated.
Yeah,
but you have to look at things from a management
standpoint
of view to see it.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Go ahead. What'd you say, Alan?
As I said, it ain't Andy Griffith showing up on your doorstep no more.
That's
you know,
right.
Out there to actually maybe you know try to help you solve a problem or save you a little bit. Yeah, just the interconnectedness of everything. Everyone, you know, they've got us all you know enthralled with. Oh, the convenience, you know. And, you know, I really haven't met too many good people, to tell you the truth, who have not had to have some kind of strife in their life, you know, had to work for something.
Mm-hmm.
Because most of the people that I've found, that's just, everything is just so easy for them, you know, it's just given to them, or they're, you know, a really good-looking, you know, guy or girl, so, you know, they've got this face and they can talk. You know, they go in and they end up just manipulating and using. And I have not really found too many good people who've not had to have some type of strife in their life to get to where they are, you know. And the interconnectedness of everything, just in the convenience is what they sell us on, you know, almost everything is, oh, it's so much better, it'll be faster, it'll be quicker, it'll be better, you know. Like I said, they know what makes the human animal tick. And they take full advantage of it, and it's just really sickening to understand what's going on and sit back on the sidelines and have to, you know, periodically say, you know, you feel like saying, I told you so, but I don't like saying that. I'm not the person who says that, but, you know, people look at you like, oh, I know what you're going to say, and I'm like, no, I'm not going to say I told you so, you know, because I can sit back and perceive things and use my own brain, but yet you're made to look like the pariah instead of, you know, the people that actually did it to them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, I had a Chinese guy say to me one time. He said, "You're in your country, they really don't appreciate intelligence, do they?" And I had to say, "No, they don't. They really don't, because there are a lot of really intelligent people that are not photogenic, but they go nowhere. You know, they kind of get stuffed down in the closet because this system." Doesn't want people who think for themselves. It wants people who will follow orders.
There you go.
No matter what.
That's true.
And they've made you to where you don't remember anything. You don't really have to know anything because of course you've got your rectangle. But I just remember things like you know the Human Genome Project. You know I'm science background, so you know I was really interested in this. You know Human Genome Project is going to be the greatest boon for mankind since sliced bread and fire. And then all of a sudden it was done, and you don't hear anything about it. That's all sucked into these deep programs, and now they can make a a gene-specific, you know, a genetic-specific virus that will only attack, you know, people with a Germanic background, you know, in their DNA structure, or people with only, you know, Spanish or whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
You know, everyone's different. Everyone's genetic makeup is different. Sure, they can do that. That's
targeted,
that's not
killings.
A problem for them anymore. You know, I could do that if I had the money and the funding.
Targeted liquidations.
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah, well, the Human Genome Project was one of my research areas when I started researching the healthcare system. And I started researching the healthcare system because I found out about the National Medical Information Database. And there, that's a whole nother thread of research. But, yeah, they're monetizing poor people. They'll be using them for genetic research. And they use a warm and fuzzy term called personalized medicine, you know, where they'll compound the whatever medication it is for whatever ails you. But, in fact, I do believe it's genetic manipulation. Let's see what happens to this person if we throw these chemicals in there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. And then it'll only be useful for you, so they can charge you whatever they want to for it, because, you know, it's only for you. You know, it won't do anyone else any good. So, you know, you're the only source of income they've got. So, yeah, it's another means of control, you know. Switching subjects, something a little more current. I've been kind of watching, you know, I'm sure you have been watching, you know, the fire over there in London, you know, this 27-story tower. You know, I've heard questions about everything, and I've heard them complaining and squalling about everything, but I've not heard anyone even beginning to try to assign blame to where this fire might have started. You know, it was full of these migrants, these wonderful people that they're bringing over from the Middle East and Africa and everything. And, you know, could it have been like one of them, you know, killed a neighborhood cat and they got some sticks in the hallway and were going to cook a cat and it started the building on fire? I mean, you know, that's more likely scene that I could come up with just off the top of my head than, you know, than anything else. I have not heard anyone assigning blame. It's just, Theresa May's got to go. You know, we were told it was a fire trap and she's got to go.
Well, my only thing on that is somebody made the point that isn't it interesting how this whole thing went up into a giant inferno and the whole building didn't fall into its own footprint.
Exactly. Yeah. Nope. That's not the droid you're looking for, Darren.
But 9/11, we're supposed to believe that one did. You know, actually, it happened multiple times on 9/11. So.
How stupid are the people around us out there, Darren? How really stupid and dumbed down have they become?
Well, people aren't paying attention.
You cannot see something so obvious.
I think people are overloaded and they're not paying attention. And I think that they're, but there's more and more and more of them all the time, frankly, from both sides, that are waking up.
I think all the psychological manipulation and miseducation has basically killed the survival instinct in people. They don't know when the time is to drop everything and say, you know, I've got to figure out, I've got to find out what's happening here because it's not safe for my family. There's something really bad happening, and I must know what it is. There was a movie in the 1960s. It was called Spencer's Mountain, and it was about logging. It was a logging town way up in the hills. And in the town, they had a bell. And when that bell rang, you know, the whole town would come running because they knew there'd been an accident. Well, in our society today, we're ringing that bell, ringing, and nobody is coming running. Because
the bell constantly rings. You know where the bell is? The bell is that Fox News alert. Ding! We have breaking news right now. And out of every break, it's... Ding! You know, so that, yeah, they're ringing the bell. You got it. Every single day.
Every hour. Rectangle that it's in everyone's hands, the bell nowadays, you know. If like the movie V, if you could get control of the rectangle network and, you know, put the truth on there for an hour and everyone's looking at the rectangles, you know, they'd stop just walking around and doing nothing, and they'd actually, you know, maybe learn something, you know, that was truth and say, wow, is that really going on? My rectangle's lying to me? Wow. But my rectangle's here right now. Yeah, I mean, what kind of confusion would that cause? You know, but what other chance do we have?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
Well, that's why we do what we do.
I'll get off the line here and let y'all continue with the show here. Like I said, I appreciate you letting me on and babble this long.
Oh, that's okay. I appreciate the call, Alan. It's good hearing from you. Always enjoy your input. Thanks a lot. We'll talk to you later. All right. There he is, Alan in Texas. And if you would like to call in, folks, you're welcome to do so. 844-646-8376. Toll free 844-6-GOVERN. Want to make sure I didn't shut Vicky off there.
I think I'm still here.
Yeah, you're still here. You're still here. I just had to check the mixer to make sure I got the right button. Sometimes those buttons can be too close together. All right, getting back to the shooting thing. Now, I don't know if you heard this or not, but the assassination, this man, this Hodgkinson, James Hodgkinson, the assassin, and that's what I'm going to call him, he had an assassination list which was found on his body. Did you know that?
Oh, no, I didn't hear that.
Apparently, according to the media, and this is from the Daily Caller, he opened fire on dozens of Republican congressmen, staffers at a baseball game in Alexandria, Virginia on Wednesday, had a list of Republican names in his pocket that was recovered by the FBI. The news that the shooter had the list of names, let me see. Now, I think we have, I think this is in one of the audio clips, too, that I have. I'm trying to see if I can, okay, here it is. The list of names included Alabama Representative Mo Brooks, South Carolina Representative Jeff Duncan, and Arizona Representative Trent Franks, the D.C. has confirmed. Fox News reported after this story that Ohio Representative Jim Jordan, Tennessee Representative Scott Jarlius, and Virginia Representative Morgan Griffith are also on the list. All six congressmen are members of the House Freedom Caucus. So this goes into what I was talking about before, the Civil War having begun. Now, of course, the media's answer to everything is always, we got to give up the guns.
A rifle, possibly a semi-automatic. How difficult is it to get a weapon like this?
It's not difficult at all. Depending on what state you're based in, there are slightly different rules in terms of gun ownership. But you can acquire one, you know, within a day sometimes, or even 2 to 3 days if there are some restrictions out there. So it's not difficult to acquire or move these weapons, nor is it difficult to get the ammunition for it. We have very loose gun laws around rifles, semi-automatic rifles, whatever it might be. And when we look at this in the end, I think what it'll ultimately come down to was we did have a really quick response. The Capitol Hill Police, it sounds like we're critical in ending this situation. And what'll really be of interest, I think, is what was the premeditation and motive? Usually when we see attacks against congressmen, you know, that's at Capitol Hill. You'll see a disturbed person maybe try and take a weapon in through security or fire shots at the Capitol. This is very different. Yeah, this is going out and targeting congressmen. You know, it's the other side of the river in Virginia. Early in the morning, it's a different location from what we see in these more symbolic sort of attacks on the Capitol. And so in terms of motive, what's also curious is, you know, was it really about one political party or the other, or was it just to attack congressmen in general? We don't know that at this time.
Well, we actually do know this, and here's another news list.
Close to home, dramatic new developments about the shooting at the congressional baseball practice in Alexandria this week.
The FBI says they found a list of names in the gunman's vehicle, the names of six GOP congressmen.
But they have stopped short of calling it a hit list. Fox 5's Tisha Lewis is live in Alexandria with the details. Tisha.
Well, Tony and Sarah, Fox News has also confirmed that there was this list, that it contained the names and Capitol Hill office room numbers for six GOP congressmen. Now, the list was reportedly found in James Hodgkinson's van after he shot up the baseball field here at Eugene Simpson Stadium Park, which will remain closed to the public through the weekend and until further notice. Now, the names on the list are Representatives Scott DeZarle, Trent Franks, Jeff...
She couldn't pronounce it either.
Duncan, Jim Jordan, Mo Brooks, and also Morgan Griffith. Now, we're told all six lawmakers on Hodgkinson's list are known to be associated with the Freedom Caucus. The names were apparently written in pen. Also, Fox News has confirmed that Jeff Duncan and also Mo Brooks were at practice. Now, what's interesting is that Duncan told reporters that before all of this unfolded, Hodgkinson's apparently asked him, were these Republicans or Democrats playing? And he apparently responded saying that they are Republicans. Now, police are trying to figure out if Hodgkinson's wanted to meet with these lawmakers or if he planned to go to their Capitol Hill offices. Tisha Lewis, Fox 5 Local News.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Targeted conservatives, targeted Republicans, and targeted constitutionalists and freedom-loving people.
Well, and that shows that's the significance of the House, the majority leader, the majority whip being targeted, because it's the majority whip that gets all the votes in line to ensure that the Republican or the majority legislation passes.
Mm-hmm.
So he's the guy that would whip people into shape, you know, to make sure that the legislative package changes.
Yeah.
Is passed, I mean.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Of course, we already touched upon the gun control measure. I want to come back to that because the media is hitting this big time. MSNBC's Malcolm Nance was also quick to blame the guns, as was Terry McAuliffe, the Virginia governor and close Clinton friend and advisor. Virginia Governor Terry McAuliffe, this is what
criminal.
He said.
Yeah. Don't forget.
Exactly.
Governor, in general, do you think anything more needs to do to protect politicians?
Well, let me say this. I think we need to do more to protect all of our citizens. I have long advocated, this is not what today is about, but there are too many guns on the street. We lose 93 million Americans a day to gun violence. I mean, I've long talked about this. Background checks, shutting down gun show loopholes. Yeah, that's not for today's discussion, but it's not just about politicians. We worry about this every day for all of our citizens.
Okay, 93 million Americans, so one-third of the entire U.S. population. That's right. One-third we lose. So he doubles down on this statistic. And then finally, a reporter calls him out, you know, to their credit, and says, you know, wait a minute, something's kind of weird about your number there.
If it's not the day for it, why are you bringing it up? People are going to criticize that you're bringing up gun control at this time.
Well, I'm talking about this every single day. This is a very serious issue. You know, I just came with Colonel Flaherty recently. You know, we just buried one of our great state troopers, a special agent, with a wife and three young children, needless, senseless. So we've got to look at this. But I'm not going to get anywhere near the investigation. The FBI is leading this. But this, obviously, with 93 million people a day, it's just something.
Sir, just checking. 93 million is a big number. Did you mean to say 93 million? That's a big number. Are you sure about that?
93 million, 93 individuals a day.
93 individuals
a day.
93. There's quite a world of difference between 93 million and 93. However,
right.
I will say that number is inflated by the gun grabbers. That number, 93 individuals a day, actually came from an organization called Every Town for Gun Safety. And that was founded by New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg, who is a huge gun grabber. The 93 people he cited there, 62% of them, over half, well over half, 62% died by their own hand. In other words, they're including suicidal people in that 93 number.
So to say, they also include the number of people that are shot and killed by police. And the whole police statistics, the number of bad people that shoot police, and the number of shootings that police get into.
Yeah, so this is talk about intellectual dishonesty, but what could we expect here from these
characters? Yeah, they don't care about intellectual honesty.
Now, one thing I will say, and in the way of a motive, and I have seen people have actually tweeted at me that, or emailed, there was a video of this Scalise talking about sex trafficking and trying to do something about this in Congress, and people were looking at that as a possible motive for a shooting. What I really think it involves with even more than that would be the fact that we had a bill in Congress at the time this was going on. There was a pro-gun bill in Congress, which had been scheduled for a hearing on that very day. And the congressional hearing for that was canceled. It would have made silencers, the purchase of silencers, more easy to obtain, among other things it would have done, and it was canceled. It's the I'm trying to find the name. Okay, it's HR 2406, the Sportsman Heritage and Recreational Enhancement Act, or SHARE. It was introduced by Representative Robert Whitman of Virginia, and it provides enhanced access to public lands. Yeah, actually, I think that's...
They do throw unrelated things into bills.
Let's see. Okay, yeah, that passed the House. I believe that is the correct bill. Now, CNN says a congressional hearing scheduled for Wednesday morning to debate gun legislation has been canceled until further notice in the wake of Wednesday's shooting at a Republican congressional practice. The House Natural Resources Federal Lands Subcommittee spokesman Molly Block confirmed the decision to CNN. The panel had been due. Yes, that is the correct bill. The panel had been due to debate the Sportsman Heritage and Recreational Enhancement Act, which includes 18 provisions related to guns and hunting, as well as other recreational sporting and outdoor provisions. The measure would make it easier to purchase silencers, transport guns across state lines, and ease restrictions on armor-piercing bullets. So there you go.
Hmm.
Isn't that quite the coincidence?
How nice. See, I'm a Second Amendment person, but I don't think that armor-piercing bullets, I think, is like a bridge too far.
Well, I don't. Here's the problem. Mm-hmm. How do you know? At what point, when we're facing a civil war here in our country, we are facing the possibility of armed militias.
That's true.
We are facing the possibility. See, we've got to think down the road. You never know what you might need in the future. And the criminals are going to have it because they don't follow the law. And so we have to be careful that we don't buy into the other side's rhetoric and say, well, I don't think that should be. No, we shouldn't need all that stuff. But when they start dictating to us what we need, I have a problem with that. Because only you know what you need. And sometimes you don't know what you're going to need until you need it.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And since we can't really trust any of our politicians, because they are the ones that are dismantling our government. They are the ones that voted for the WTO, free trade in goods and services. And by the way, prostitution is a service, you know. it's a legal business in some countries.
That's right.
So they are the ones that did this to us.
Yes.
So you're right.
Absolutely. Yeah, here we have MSNBC's Clinton Watts. He suggested that the shooter might have had help. And this is something that really brings us to the point where I want to get into next. Because this whole thing, to me, has the smell of coordination, Vicki. And I'll let you know where we're going as we get there. But MSNBC's Clinton Watts.
I think the other part they're going to really want to focus on, as we talked about before, is the reconnaissance. Seems like the shooter wasn't exactly sure that it was Republicans on that field, but he was definitely aware of it. And this isn't a normal sort of targeting that you would see for congressmen. He's crossed the river. He's in Virginia. He's there early in the morning. Somebody may have helped him. I mean, do this. This is a lot of work for a lone shooter to do on his own. Not impossible. Maybe he's just a good researcher and he put it together. But we've seen more organizing and activity around violent groups and violent actors over the past couple of years than we have probably any time since the 1960s and 70s. So we got to really explore all these connections and make sure that we're keeping the public safe.
Okay, so somebody may have had he may have had help from somebody. Now, he's just speculating there, I suppose. But I just find it very interesting that we start seeing these incidences crop up all across the country. First of all, we have the Twitter atmosphere. All the leftists, well, I shouldn't say all of them, but there were a lot of leftists on the Twitter that were celebrating, jubilant, woohoo! Isn't it great that this Congress critter, these people have gotten shot? You know, so we got these. I don't know who these people are, but what a sick mentality! What a real sick mentality! And then moving down the road here, we see from various places around the country. At the same time, all this crazy stuff going on. For one thing, there was a shooting that took place in Indiana. A truck flying a Make America Great Again flag was the target of gunfire. Tell you what, well, let's get to that after the break. Time's going by very quickly. This is Govern America. Vicki Davis is here. I'm Darren Weeks. The top of the hour, if everything goes as planned, we should be joined by Ron Stevens. A lot going on, and we're moving along, covering it as quickly as we can here on Govern America. Stay with us. Welcome back to the broadcast. This is Govern America. Vicki Davis is here. I'm Darren Weeks. As we continue here, talking about the various chaotic things that have happened this past week in regards to shootings, and especially the situation with the shooting at the congressional baseball game. But there's a lot of other things that happened in conjunction with that that are less talked about, I think, than that. And that's what people, I think, need to be aware of. GovernAmerica.com, by the way, is the website for the radio program. GovernAmerica.com, where all the news and information is, and also archives of this broadcast. You can listen live or on demand. And Vicki Davis is here as well. Her websites are ChannelingReality.com. That's her older website with all of her original research, and also thetechnocratictyranny.com is a second one that she has started, and then there's TVOI News, the voice of Idaho, TVOINews.com, and I think we have all of them up on our website at governamerica.com that you can go over there and click across. And if you'd like to contact us, my email address is radio@governamerica.com. Vicki, you want to give your email out?
Yeah, my email address is eyeswideopen, with two O's, eyeswideopen, @channelingreality.com.
Okay, very good. Now, before the break, I was just getting into the fact that this is not an isolated incident. And I think this is... the one commentator that we played, the reason why I played that actuality that the shooter may have had helped is because this looks to me like it's coordinated. All of this happening at the same time. In Indiana, there was a shooting of a truck with a Make America Great Again flag happened just at about the same time this other shooting in Washington, D.C. took place.
Say police want to know if shots fired at a pickup on I-465 was politically motivated.
Someone shot around 4 o'clock Tuesday afternoon on I-465 near Emerson. So take a look at what happened. When you look closely, you can see a bullet hole in the lower part of the door there. Troopers tell us the truck driver was flying an American flag and a Make America Great Again flag. They believe someone riding in a white Chevy Malibu with Louisiana plates fired several shots at the truck.
What's Louisiana plates? Did you catch that?
No. Oh, yeah. Out of state.
Yeah, well, Louisiana is where Scalise is from.
Mm. Interesting. Yeah. Good catch.
I'm sorry, go ahead, play that again.
Okay. Do you want me to just play part of it, or I'll play the end? Let me select here and go.
Fired several shots at the truck.
Okay, hold on. I got to go back a little bit further. Let me jump right in the middle of it.
So you can see a bullet hole in the lower part of the door there. Troopers tell us the truck driver was flying an American flag and a Make America Great Again flag. They believe someone riding in a white Chevy Malibu with Louisiana plates fired several shots at the truck. Fortunately, nobody was hurt.
Very good. Good catch.
Yeah. Wow.
Interesting. Well, and you could say, well, that could just be a coincidence. You know?
Yeah, right.
Entirely coincidental. Well, Another Republican.
Lots of coincidences in this world, aren't there?
It gets even worse. Another Republican that was under attack on the very same day of the congressional baseball shooting, the very same day, and he's a New Mexico Land Commissioner, Aubrey Dunn. He found a bullet hole in his pickup truck in Santa Fe.
It was a scary morning for State Land Commissioner Aubrey Dunn as he woke up and went outside to find a bullet lodged in the windshield of his state-issued truck.
Well, this morning, got up and saw the news.
Commissioner Dunn started Wednesday morning hearing about a congressman shot in Virginia. Then he went outside his home to find this.
Got up about 7:30, walked out to this vehicle, and noticed there's a glass hole of the seat, looked up at the windshield and saw there was a hole, and I thought, well, it must have been a bullet.
Santa Fe police responded to a shooting on Canyon Road at around 2:30 Tuesday, just hours before the shooting near Washington.
That shot would have hit me if I'd been in the vehicle.
Dunn says the fact that the targets were Republicans isn't lost on him.
With all the discourse going against conservative Republicans and me being one of those and a politician in New Mexico, it's concerning that it might have been targeted towards me.
Dunn says he doesn't think he was targeted, but something like this and the shooting in Virginia could make him think twice about running for re-election next year.
As I consider whether I run in 18 or not, all those thoughts went through my head about what it's taking to be somebody that's involved in our political process right now.
Santa Fe police say they're continuing to investigate yesterday's shooting. Reporting in Santa Fe, David Carl, KOAT, Action 7 News.
So now you have politicians that are being intimidated not to run again because of the possible threat of violence here in America.
Yep.
I mean, this is incredible. And it doesn't end there, Vicki. There's another congressional candidate, I believe. Her name is Karen Handel. And her and her neighbors were the target of white powder being mailed in the U.S. snail mail.
Morning, police are looking for the person who delivered a suspicious envelope to the House of Congressional candidate Karen Handel and several neighbors. Channel 2's Audrey Washington live in Roswell. Audrey, the FBI is now part of this investigation.
And Linda, that really gives you an indication of just how serious this case is. If you look here behind me, this is Karen Handel's neighborhood here in Roswell, and this is where that powdery substance was found. Exactly what the powder is and if this threat poses any real danger is also what's under investigation at this hour. Channel 2 Action News was there just moments after the first envelope was discovered. We have since learned that other neighbors in this Willow Springs community also received the envelope. They say with the powder was also a threatening note inside.
All of her immediate neighbors received it, and there was a white powdery substance as well, and it basically said, take a sniff and join Karen in the hospital.
We are systematically going to all the mailboxes, checking the mail to make sure people have not received this letter.
And Karen Handel herself responded to the matter in a Facebook post. She said in part, quote, it's frustrating that my neighbors have been affected in this way. She went on to call the act despicable. Now, Roswell police say they've also notified the postal inspector in regards to the mail carrier who delivered this mail. Of course, we will stay on top of this story. Again, police tell us this case remains under investigation.
So, I don't think, given the fact any one of these events could have happened, any one of these events could have been a chance event, but given the fact that they all happened within the same time frame at the same time shows me, it strongly suggests to me anyway, that this is a coordinated attack.
Right, and the white powder thing, the last time that was done when it was anthrax, it was Democrats who were in the majority at that time who were the target. But, if you look at the whole conversion of the management system from a globalist point of view, then you can make sense out of the fact that, a Democrat majority leader was targeted. Now Republicans are targeted, and we know that the strategy is harmonization of laws and building a global management system. So it makes sense from a strategic point of view that, you know, it was Democrats then, now it's Republicans, and it, I don't know, in this event, you know, of this shooting, I'm sure the guy had help in planning it, because who knew that the members of Congress were involved in a baseball team? I didn't, well, and I watched the news all the time.
And again, they reported this in the New York Times. Why would the New York Times be reporting secretive information about where these people are going to be to give this guy enough warning to move to the area in April and spend months staking out the area, as he is reported to have done? So you might suggest that the media, we know who controls the New York Times, took this guy by the hand and guided him. Now, one other thing I want to say about this Karen Handel powder incident, it didn't mention the note, it only alluded to it and didn't mention exactly, but there is a picture which was courtesied Facebook, but it was printed in the Daily Mail, and I'll put this article in the show notes with the picture. The picture will be in the article. But it says, it's got a picture of one of these notes. The note says, "Your neighbor, Karen Handel, is a dirty fascist," and it's got the word blurred out. "But I'm sure you already knew that. Take a whiff of the powder and join her in the hospital, you bourgeoisie mother effer," and I'm sure that's what it's saying, but it blurred out the F word. But it uses the word bourgeoisie.
And then it says, into the Russians.
Then it says in big letters, "Resist the fascist takeover. String up the collaborators." Well, who would be promoting the idea of these people are bourgeoisie? People who are very, you know, attuned to the Communist Manifesto?
The deep state. The Russians did it.
Yeah, the Russians are hacking our U.S. mail system now, huh?
Yeah. Delivering it to our homes.
I believe this is further communist movement going on here. And it's could be factions within the U.S. intelligence agency. I have no doubt about that. The various intelligence agencies. But this just correlates very well with the discussion we were having last week with regard to what's been going on our college campuses, with regard to the movement of intimidation, with regard to the movement of trying to stifle free speech, trying to stifle people who might have the best interest of our country in mind. This is your totalitarian movement. And
yeah,
that's not the extent of all of the chaos that happened this past week. But those are the ones where I see specific people targeted. Meanwhile, at a UPS facility in San Francisco.
Chaos at the UPS facility in San Francisco. A gunman opens fire on fellow employees, killing three people and injuring two others before turning the gun on himself. The gunfire erupted as UPS drivers were arriving to work at the facility.
This is at the UPS building. There's several people that were shot, shooters, GLA.
Chaos closed down every street surrounding the UPS facility in Potrero Hill this morning.
We had a tragedy here earlier this morning where a gunman opened fire, injuring five people and taking his own life.
UPS confirms that gunman was an employee. He came into a meeting at 8:55 this morning, shot three of his coworkers before taking his own life. Hundreds of UPS employees were told to evacuate and neighbors sheltered in place as police used tactical gear, including this Bobcat, to secure the area.
So people are just absolutely losing their minds.
It's the Red Terror, isn't it? That's what it is. I was reading a report produced by the Trilateral Commission on European Union and Russian relations, and it seems that Russia is allied with the European Union. At least in this report, at the time it was written, they were moving towards establishing a common governing structure.
Mm-hmm.
The report, let's see, I have a note here on it. There were four areas of cooperation that are called the four common spaces. Okay, the four common spaces are, number one, a common economic space. Number two, a common space of freedom, security, and justice. Number three, a common space of external security. And number four, a common space of research and education, including cultural aspects.
Mm-hmm. Very
so
cultural
doesn't
aspects.
Doesn't that sound like the agenda over here?
That sounds exactly what's going on.
Right.
And the Trilateral Commission. I'm sure Zbigniew Brzezinski is rotting in hell even as we speak for his crimes against humanity.
Because he was involved in this whole thing right from the beginning.
Absolutely. Then we had another event where Travis Air Force Base went into lockdown. It's interesting that the event was called a real-world security incident. And guess what just happened to be going on at the same time?
We're just moments away from your news at 4. Want to get you some breaking news out there, though, right here as we interrupt programming. There is a security alert going on right now at Travis Air Force Base. There is a report that is a real-world incident. It's being called. Ironically, it comes at a time when they were simulating a security incident, but according to Travis Air Force Base officials, this is the real deal. They're not giving us more specifics on what they're dealing with, but they do tweet out, shelter in place, lock your doors and windows, await further information, and then obviously advising you to follow Travis' Facebook page for updates. We have crews on the way. We can tell you once again that Travis Air Force Base is confirming they are under a security alert, urging people to stay away from the area, and obviously to keep your thoughts and prayers to whatever might be happening there. We do not know for sure what it is, but we do know, based on the reaction, that Travis Air Force Base is saying that it is a real security incident.
There was a drill going on at the time.
That's interesting words he used, because it takes me back to 9/11, and one of the recordings that I heard. I can't remember if it was the FAA speaking with the military command, but one of the people said, it's real world, not a drill. This is not a drill. This is real world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, another drill goes live, and later on the whole thing was called a false alarm.
A lockdown at Travis Air Force Base in Fairfield, California has been lifted after a mistaken report of an active shooter. In a Facebook post, the base said, quote, Travis Air Force Base emergency personnel responded to reports of gunshots at the base exchange. However, it was determined to be a false alarm. The base is no longer under lockdown. We take every security incident seriously.
I'm wondering if what happened was they were engaging in the drill, and somebody heard the gunfire from the drill, and then they thought it was a real incident? Or was this whole thing just a part of the drill to alarm everybody? I mean, you don't even know anymore.
Yeah.
When you've got officials
using guns in a drill.
When you've got officials that are terrorizing school children for no reason, no good reason at all. I mean, and is there ever really a good reason to terrorize anyone? You got to ask yourself some hard questions. We've crossed a threshold in America. And then you had another false alarm, a dirty bomb at a port. This incident was in Charleston, South Carolina. A port terminal was evacuated due to a bomb threat.
Live 5 News starts now with breaking news.
That breaking news comes to us out of Mount Pleasant, where the Coast Guard tells us they're responding to a report of a dirty bomb. A dirty bomb is one that also has radioactive material in it. This is all happening at the Wando Welch Terminal, again, in Mount Pleasant.
The Coast Guard officials have looked into a possible report of a dirty bomb that is possibly on one of of the ships that is docked here at the terminal. We do know that EMS police in a hazmat unit is on the scene. Now, you might be wondering also what exactly is a dirty bomb, and I looked into this, and it combines conventional explosives such as dynamite with radioactive material. Now, this is according to the United States Nuclear Regulatory Commission. It also says it can release enough radiation to kill people or cause severe illness. It says the explosive itself would be more harmful to individuals than the radioactive material. But I want to clarify and to alert you all that this is just a possible report of a dirty bomb. They have not confirmed whether or not they have in fact seen this on one of the ships, but there is a constant flow of activity, and this place has been evacuated as of a couple of hours ago.
So, what do you think so far, Vicky? We sure do have a lot of weird emergencies going on this week, and it's all the same time.
All at the same, yeah. Right at the time budget hearings are going on, and FirstNet, the national emergency response system, needs a lot more money to come up and to take over 911 calls across the nation.
Well, and at a time also that we find out that 94,983,000 Americans are still not in the labor force in May. That came out, recently, on June 2nd, I guess. 94, well, I guess that won't be a problem since 93 million of us die every day in gunfire. So the unemployment problem will be taken care of in a few days.
Right. Well, and Ron Johnson, the chairman of the Department of Home Scam Security and Government Affairs Committee, he's sponsoring a bill to allow our states to issue visas, to allow foreign workers and foreign direct investment in the state. Everybody that's out there, I'm telling you, ignore everything else that's going on and go listen to those budget hearings.
Hmm. We'll have to clip some audio from it. Go ahead.
Did I? Yeah, well, because the whole thing about shortages, it's always there are shortages of workers in the United States, skills gap, all the rest of that nonsense. The United States did have, when they started this whole shortages campaign, the United States had the most educated workforce in the world. Mm-hmm. And, of course, that was in the 1990s, and they've since been destroying it. But we have our own people. We don't need foreign workers to come in. And I do believe that the foreign workers are part of the global management system, the management including police and militarized police.
Yep.
And that is being sponsored by Ron Johnson.
Yep. What a traitor.
Republican.
What a traitor. What a traitor.
That's exactly what he is.
Moody's is saying, according to USA Today, a number of distressed retailers tops total during a financial crisis. The list of U.S. retailers with troubled financials that could make them potential bankruptcy risks now totals 22, according to ratings by Moody's Investors Service, topping the 19 recorded at the peak of the Great Recession. So you've got that going on. All of this violence, all of this targeting, all of the social chaos breaking down, all this crazy stuff going on could very well just be a distraction for the melting economy that's taking place.
Why is it melting? It's because I saw an article that said that Amazon is now buying Whole Foods.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
And so, they allowed these monopolies to form and to grow big, to just consume everything. This is global communism. I mean, who doesn't get that?
Yeah. And we have billionaire investors like Jim Rogers coming out. He's predicting, later on this year, he's saying that there's going to be a major market event, and it's not looking good. Now, this guy seems to be one of the better rich folks. In fact, Nancy said she had an interaction with him by email at one point, and she said he seems like a really nice guy. But he's making some predictions that people need to listen to.
Well, what's going to happen? Is this going to continue? Some stocks in America are turning into a bubble. The bubble's going to come, then it's going to collapse, and you should be very worried. But Henry, this is good for you, because somebody has to report. So you have job security. You're a lucky soul.
Well, yeah, TV ratings do seem to go up during crashes, but then they completely disappear when everyone is obliterated, so nobody is hoping for that. But so when is this going to happen?
Later this year or next.
Later this year or next.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Write it down.
And what will trigger it?
Well, it's interesting because these things always start where we're not looking. In 2007, Iceland went broke. And people said, Iceland? Is that a country? They have a market? And then Ireland went broke. And then Bear Stearns went broke. And then, you know, Lehman Brothers went broke. They spiral like that. Always happens where we're not looking. I don't know, it could be an American pension plan that goes broke, and many of them are broke, as you know. It could be some country we're not watching. It could be all sorts of things. It could be war, unlikely to be war, but it's going to be something. When you're watching Business Insider and you see...
Okay, I got to interrupt it because we got the top of the hour break. Ron Stevens should be joining us in a moment. Stay with us, folks. We'll be back. This is Govern America, hour number three, straight ahead.
Crisis of our republic, waging war on the new world order. This is Govern America. Govern America.
From just south of the Great Lakes capital city, covering all of North America via satellite, micro FM stations all across the country, and streaming live from FEMA Region 5 and Michigan Planning Region 2. This is the third and final hour of Govern America. Vicki Davis is here. I'm Darren Weeks, and we're joined this hour by Ron Stevens. And it continues to be the 17th of June, 2017, as we round out the broadcast, the final hour here. GovernAmerica.com, that's GovernAmerica.com, is our website. And Vicki and Ron. Ron, welcome to the broadcast.
Good afternoon, Darren.
How you doing?
Me? I'm always doing good. I have a rule, if my feet hit the ground in the morning, I'm doing good.
Yeah, yeah. Well, amen to that. It's we've been talking a lot on this broadcast, and really in the past number of weeks, about how insane everything has gotten. We have the cultural Marxism going on all across the country right now with these, you know, the transgender perversion, mental illness taking place. I know you were talking about that on one of your broadcasts this past week.
Actually, Darren, we're having our very first suicide parade here in my small town.
Are you kidding me? A suicide parade?
Well, when I get looking at it, that's what we need to term it as, because when you look at the transgender, which is being pushed in the schools now, we have no legislation here that they target kids, right? So little kids in grade 1, 2, 3 kindergarten, mm-hmm. they have drag queens in now reading them stories, and you know, impressionable kids are. They got no history, right, to deal with.
Yeah.
So. And teaching them that, you know, so you find a kid that doesn't have a lot of self-worth or self-confidence, or he's really shy or that. These are the kids they target, and maybe you're really not a boy or a girl after all, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they send them home to their parents, loaded up with this information. And if the parents say, like, sorry, you're a boy or a girl, that's the way it is, right? And mm-hmm. they go back to the school and say, you know, mommy and daddy said I'm really just a boy or a girl, and I'm not what you say I am, that we have now legislated in this province, Ontario, that if that happens, the province now has the authority to go and pull the child and put it with a transgender group. It's that wicked.
Unbelievable.
So, but when I look at the statistics on the suicide rate of transgenders in particular, mm-hmm. it's riding around 50%. Now, we have the flags up everywhere around here. The health department has the flags up. The legislature has the flags up. The schools have the flags up. And if you're promoting something with a 50% suicide rate, then it's a suicide parade.
Oh, good point.
Is the way I look at it.
Yeah.
Then they both end with IDE, right? Right?
IDE?
Suicide and pride.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there you go. Oh.
So we must be truthful about it. It's a suicide parade.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, Vicki. Vicki Davis is here as well. She's my co-host. And say hi, Vicki.
Hi.
Hi, Vicki. How are you? By the way,
fine,
I love
thanks.
Michigan.
Yeah, Michigan's beautiful. Canada is too, though. You know.
Well, and there's not a lot of difference between Michigan and Ontario, really.
Yeah.
You know, we're kind of side by each here. Same basic latitudes. Beautiful lakes, rivers, bush, you know, beautiful, beautiful.
Yeah, it seems difficult to understand. I mean, everything that we're seeing going on, and we've been talking for 2 hours here now about all the shootings that have been taking place here. There's a lot of chaos going on, and I think it's engineered. I think it's orchestrated. I think there's a lot of coordinated stuff happening. You know, with bomb attacks, it just seems like everything seems to be designed to keep the population in a perpetual state of fear, and the intimidation going on by subversive elements. Do you have a lot of that targeted stuff taking place in your universities and institutions of higher indoctrination up there
in
Canada?
Well, we went to a milk symposium at the University of Guelph. Was it last year? And actually, a guy flew in from California because it's legal, I guess, to sell raw milk in California. And I was absolutely blown away. I haven't been in a university or school in a long, long time. And I haven't had a very good response from them. But when we walked into this one building where this symposium was going to be, I couldn't freaking believe it. Like, it was a huge, huge, wide hall. And at the end of that hall, probably, I don't know, 16 feet high or whatever, that whole end wall was full of, you know, 3x5, 5x7 posters, if you call them, professionally done. And it was just one, it was a wall of indoctrination.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was climate change and pride and all of these things that are there to manipulate the kids' heads into believing something that is absolutely not true. That was a little bit testy, but I'll tell you how bad the schools are. Our little town here is only 7,500 people. We have a cop in the schools all day, every day. It's pretty well locked down. The kids can't play baseball at the school because the bat's now been identified as a weapon. When I was in grade 9, we had a gun range in the school, for crying out loud, right? But I went into the school one time. I was asked to come up and film a politician who I never did see. But I asked the lady at the front office, you know, do you still do night courses? And she said, yeah. And I said, maybe we'll do a night course or something. So that was a good idea. So I went back to see Night Course Lady. All I want to know is what it is you require of me.
Uh-huh.
And then I decide whether I'm even interested in it or not. And she kept bugging at me about what I would teach. And I said, I haven't even thought about it. I just seen if I want to go and do this. But she kept poking at me. And I said, fine, let me think about it a minute. I know what I'll teach. I'll teach a course on Canadian history.
There you go.
Well, I'd say this is pretty simple, right?
Yeah.
She came across the desk, finger up my nose, eyeballs bugged out, and borged me, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't want anything radical here.
So teaching history is not radical.
Well, if you teach real history, it's damn radical.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, so but that no,
quote,
it's all,
quote from
know,
Orwell comes to mind. In an age of universal deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act.
Well, yeah, I mean, but there's upsides to all of this stuff too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like because I'm
is
a
there?
Small town. I have a lot of police come to my house, not because I do anything wrong, just because I ask honest questions, looking for honest answers. I actually had the chief of police here call me up one time, and he says, you know, I'm just calling to tell you what your problem is. And I go, really? What's my problem? And he says, you're diametrically opposed to what 99% of the community thinks. Really?
Oh, you're not being a good communitarian.
Well, I find these things quite humorous. You know, I asked him, you know, I said, like, how did you do this? Like, I didn't know 99% of the people knew who I was. But you say they do, so how'd you do this? A mail out, a phone call, survey? How'd you do it? You know, I'm going to need the data, right? And well, he just starts losing and gets all flustered and runs away, right?
Well, you can't really trust the pollsters anyway, can you? I mean,
you can't.
Haven't the last few years taught us that the polls are always wrong?
Well, yeah, it's like weatherman, right? You know, we're just going to throw a dart and whatever we want, we'll print. And you know, I saw something interesting. I don't want to change too much subject, but I saw something interesting in your bio over on Republican Radio there.
Mm-hmm.
You actually were doing some mainstream radio in that.
Yeah, that broadcasting has been my field. Yeah, that was actually how I woke up to the Patriot stuff. I ended up discovering the Patriot. Well, it was the original Republic Radio International, Stattmiller's original network. I discovered that on the satellite. When I was just flipping through dials, somebody brought in a satellite magazine into the control room where I was working, and I noticed, there's radio on these other channels. When you change the frequency, you can get radio. So I think, you know, some of the, like the Mormons, or either the Mormons or the Seventh-day Adventists had their channel, and there were lots of other things. So I decided to start checking some of these things out, and I discovered Republic Radio International was there, and of course, that was during the era that Rush Limbaugh was on the air, and he was talking America up. I mean, he first came on the scene. Now, I believe, in retrospect, he came on the scene to sell NAFTA to the American people, because that's what he did. And
yeah.
But anyway, his bright ideas, bright outlook on the country, didn't measure up to what I was seeing in society. And so, looking at this, and then I stumbled upon the Patriot broadcasting and started finding out all of this information, and I said, this is what I'm not getting from the establishment press. So I used to start bringing VHS tapes into work with me and recording off the C-band satellite 8 hours a day and then taking it home and listening to it, and that's how I started getting my education.
Yeah, because I was a reporter out in Calgary, Alberta, when I was young, and that's where I knew something's wrong a long time ago, and I want to pass this along to your listeners. I think this is really important. I had a grade 6 or 7 teacher who was a female, and I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say that anymore. She was some gender-based thing, anyways. I think she was a lady. But what she said to the class was, and I've taken this with me ever since, it's made me a researcher ever since, and I've always been someone who's always been asking questions as long as I can remember, but what she said to the class was this: believe nothing you read, see, or hear until you personally verify the information.
Yeah.
Failure to do so opens your mind to accepting all manner of propaganda and outright lies as truth. And I think that's the big problem we have to deal with as far as the education system is concerned.
Well, and that's why documentation is so important. And Vicki does a lot of work with documenting things on her websites, and she's always listening to it. And we do it here on the broadcast, playing clips from congressional hearings and that sort of thing, which is a form of documentation. Because you're right. I mean, you have to be aware of what's going on. Vicki, I don't want to leave you out in the dust. You anything you would like to add?
Well, the reason why I do documentation is because I had to do it, you know, as part of my profession. You know, when I would go in and study a system at a corporation, I would, you know, talk to a lot of people, find out what they do, and then I would document it. And so it was just a natural thing for me to do. And, you know, a lot of people on the internet have tried to make it seem like I'm not really doing anything serious because I go out and I capture bits of what other people have said. But, you know, I'm not making any of this up. I'm not a fiction writer, and I'm not a parrot. But I do go capture important things that when you put them all together, you can see what the strategic plan is, what they're doing. And that's my objective, is to document.
And that's so important, Vicki, because mm-hmm. what the majority of the people, and that's the vast, vast majority of the people, and this is why they keep firing stuff constantly, is to keep people off balance, right? You take the time to, you know, put the line between the dots and get a picture, where the average public are just being bombarded every day with things, and they have no time, no capacity to actually, you know, formulate what's actually going on. They're just reacting every day. You know, they go to the coffee shop or go to work, and every day it's a new conversation as to what's happening, as what's being thrown at them in the media. So it's easy to keep driving them in a direction because they never have the opportunity to stop long enough to go back and get the background information and actually draw a picture. And I think that's what we try to do on these shows all the time, is try to draw these pictures for people to give them a better base from to work from.
Yeah. Now, do you have a website or something, Ron, that people can get find?
I have a blog. It's called canadiantruths.wordpress.com. I haven't posted much there lately. I've got a Facebook, which is called Rock the Boat Radio.
Okay.
And I post there a lot. I just find it's faster and have more fun with it because you have more interaction. Like whenever I want to clean up my Facebook page, I just write something I know is going to irritate the hell out of a lot of ignorant people. so they'll bail on me.
Yeah, I gave up on the Facebook thing myself years ago because the whole time I
hate Facebook, but I find it. You can really get a. I mean, most of the Facebook sites, like most of the, and I don't want to be rude to anybody, but I learned long, long time ago when I first set up my first blog in 2006 or whatever it was, helping people fight this nonsense of renewable energy, that most of the online media, like the mainstream media, is full of crap.
Yeah.
Most of it's there. Most of the online so-called truth media is set up specifically to grab people who feel there's something wrong and they hear something they want to hear and they go there and they're not researchers, so they're easily manipulated.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you come highly, highly recommended.
Thank you.
If I can, I just want to put a thank you to who I consider a good friend, who never met the man. He's south of me here, Chris.
Yeah.
Who a lot of online chatters know as Duck. He's the one that set this up, and I want to thank him very much for it.
Yeah, and I owe him a debt of gratitude, too, because he's the one that got us on UCY.TV.
Yeah, he's a good guy, man. He busts his tail. Right?
We have three networks that pick up this broadcast now, in addition to the micro stations that carry us. And so, you know, the more the merrier, I say, because we're going to be doing the best we can every week anyway. We might as well have more people listening. And
well,
so
that's the whole point.
Yeah.
Like you having been on mainstream media, I wish. I almost had a mainstream media
show.
Well,
I want to correct you on that. The only mainstream media I've done is buy broker airtime on radio stations.
Oh, okay.
And I did that starting when I was a teenager, believe it or not.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's but cool. My career has been behind the scenes. I'm a glorified button pusher. And mouse mover now.
Well, see. This is what I've done mainstream media. Like I've been in the studios, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I almost had a mainstream radio show here. I was doing a lot of work for a lot of farmers up here, being irritated, and other people are being irritated with these stupid windmills. And the host, you know, he says, "You need your own show." I said, "Great." So, you know, we worked away at this for a couple, 3 months, talking off air and on air. And I finally got a hold of him one day, and I said, "I'm not getting a show, am I?" And he said, "No." And I said, "You want to tell me why?" And he said, "You already know why." And I said, "I know, but I'd like to hear it." He said, "You know too much, right? And that won't work on mainstream media because we won't be able to hang on to you." And I said, "You hear what you just said? I mean, that's so sad." You know, and it's true. It's all constructed nonsense, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but what I liked about mainstream media is you walk into the studio, you get a headset, you don't worry about anything technical, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're queued in for commercials, you're queued in for this and that. And I thought, "Whoa, this is sweet. I don't have any of that here."
Well, my stint in mainstream radio, I started my first foray into professional broadcasting is working at a. I used to buy airtime. I started off buying airtime on our local church, on a local AM radio station here. Got to know the guy that was working there, and he told me how he went to school. So I ended up, you know, always being fascinated with radio, and so I ended up going to Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts in Southfield, Michigan, and graduated from their program, and then realized I couldn't make a living at radio because they don't want to pay anything. So that's mm-hmm. where I started to explore the television aspect, and really, starting off, I couldn't make a living at that either, but we did it over time, gradually worked into positions where I was able to start making some money, but it's tough out there. But
it's very tough. But I take my hat off to you because I've met a lot of mainstream media people over the years, and we can go to bed with a clear conscience at night. That's the beauty. These other guys can't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had one guy who was following me around. Well, we run into these meetings, and I did run in the 2007 provincial election here. And so we ran into each other a lot, and we were at this one huge meeting, government people and a lot of media and this and that, and it was all about renewable energy. And I went outside for a smoke, and he comes outside and he looks at me, and it was just me and him standing out there. It's a huge, huge affair. And he said, "Ron, you're telling me that everybody in there is wrong, and you're right? That's correct." And I said, "Did you look at any of this stuff I sent you?" I haven't had time. So I got a call from him about, I don't know, a few months later, and he asked if he could come over to the house. I asked him what's up. He said, "Maybe we'll shoot some film or something." And he came in, he sat down, and I said, "You're not here to shoot film. What's going on?" And he said, I finally got a chance to look at some of your stuff, and you're absolutely correct. This is a complete and total constructed fraud."
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "Now you got a problem, my friend. Okay? How are you going to get it out of here? Like, how are you going to deal with this?"
There's right? the problem.
You know, and the last time I saw him, there was a strike going on for, they were closing a jail, a county jail. It was all about regionalization.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were going to do a little bit of protest, the jail guys and at the union. Up at the local politician's office, and I went up there, and Scott was standing there hooking up his mainstream camera, and You know, I said, you know, how you doing? And he just looked at me and he just dropped his head, right? And I thought, you poor dog, right? Because you got to bury this every day. Now you know. See, there's a deal that what I go with too, you see. And I think this is what we're trying to get people to. You know, there's a saying that, you know, take heed no man deceive you. And through, once you see, and you've obviously seen, and Vicky obviously knows, but once you see, you can no longer not see. And once you know, you can no longer not know. And at that point, you can no longer be deceived. And I think that's what we're trying to get the general population to. Then we can make a move.
Right? Well, I think you really have hit on exactly why a lot of the people don't want to know. Because they would be confronted with the reality that they have to then do something with the information.
Well, you have
knowledge requires. Yeah, it requires responsibility. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the state has gone out of its way to keep adults in a childlike position.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And the state is your parent, and do as your parent says, kind of thing, right?
Yeah, do what you're told.
So yeah, it's just to keep people mentally childlike. I mean, if you look at old. If you go back in history, you know, kids that were 14 were better men than, you know, 30, 40, 50-year-old men today. Right?
Mm-hmm.
They knew right from wrong, and they knew how to stand up for what was right and what was wrong, and they weren't easily manipulated. Yeah. And so it's really, you know, we're in the teaching process here, and some people I know get very irritated once they know that this is really crooked. They get angry about it, and I say, hey, they didn't get us here in a day, and we're not going to get out of this in a day, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we have a responsibility to become the teachers.
Yeah. Now, you hit on one thing that you were talking about, you know, with regard to the prison system. I know Vicky and I, you know, we talk about regionalism a lot on this broadcast, and mm-hmm. you've got that same kind of thing going on up there. You mentioned the regional, you know, the prison system and how that's all in a implementation of the regionalism.
Yeah. I mean, it's all, you know, if you go back and you got to go back, right? Like the 1950 Senate hearings with Warburg, stating that we're going to have a world governed by consent or by conquest. Well, they can't bomb the West. Okay, that won't fly. You can have your local little bombings or whatever, but you can't come in and bomb the West. So that's consent, and that's what they're trying to do is get us to consent to the Sovietization, and it is a Sovietization because the Rees Commission, which was I think 1958. Norman Dodds, when he was talking to the guy from the Ford Foundation, and you know, the Ford guy from the Ford Foundation says, "What are you guys up to?" "Well, we're trying to figure out what you tax exempt foundations are up to." And the guy from the Ford Foundation apparently said, "Well, that's easy. We're charged with Sovietization of America."
Yep.
And that's all about the regionalization and that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we went from having Russia, the Republic of Russia, to the Soviet what?
Union.
Mm-hmm. Right? And the European Union, North American Union, okay? And this is the Sovietization of the West going on right now.
Yep.
And so all of our politicians are treasonous. It's that simple.
You know? Charlotte Isbried always talks about that, too. You know, the new American Soviet. I think it was Gorbachev that said that, if I remember correctly.
Well, Gorbachev actually runs, what is it called, Green Cross?
Green Cross and International.
In America, it's called Global Green, I believe. Which is just part of Gorbachev's green movement. Very dangerous stuff. And have you ever seen the film series or the TV series called America with a K?
Actually, yes. I haven't watched it, but I have it, and it always was recommended by my friend Chris Gerner, a late friend now. He unfortunately passed away, but yeah. I'm familiar with it. Hey, can you hang on? We're at the bottom of the hour. Let's take a few minutes of time out, and we'll continue the discussion. And Vicki, if you have anything to say, you just jump right in there. I don't want to squeeze you out there. Bottom of the hour.
I will after the break about okay. Green Cross.
All right, very good. Stay with us, folks. Ron Stevens is here, and Vicki Davis, and I'm Darren Weeks. We'll be back in a moment here on Govern America. Welcome back to the broadcast. This is Govern America, visiting with Ron Stevens this hour. And his website is, his radio show is Rock the Boat Radio, and it's heard on UCY.TV, Rock the Boat Radio. And your website, once again, is...
CanadianTruths.wordpress.com.
Canadian, okay, Canadian Truths, as in truth.
With an S on the end of it.
Yeah, .wordpress.com. I just want to make sure people understand that. Vicki, you said you had something to add about the Green Cross International before the break?
I found Green Cross International when I was trying to figure out what Mikhail Gorbachev was doing at the Presidio. And I have his founding, the speech where at the founding of Green Cross. And I'm going to read you a brief part on here, okay?
Okay.
It is time to set up a special institute for the study of planetary environmental problems. It should become an independent research center coordinating the scholarly activities of national groups in the area of global ecology. It would be appropriate to create such an institute within the non-governmental organization of the Green Cross, but with financing provided by governments. Such a mixed governmental, non-governmental status would also make it possible for private donors and foundations to take part in this work of general human importance. Research of this kind should be of a systemic nature. It would therefore be appropriate to use for this purpose the existing International Institute of Applied Systemic Analysis, located near Vienna. The governments of a number of countries are already financing this institute. Okay, the International Institute of Applied Systems Analysis is what it was originally done, was founded, and the agreement was signed in 1972 between the United States and the Soviet Union. And the guy who represented the United States that was director of the institute was a guy named Howard Raifa, R-A-I-F-F-A, I believe, from Harvard University. And what their objective was to study both systems of government and to make proposals where you could combine the systems of government. Okay.
Right, and that's your international law. Right.
Mm-hmm.
We are under international law and have been for a considerable amount of time, people in both our nations need to come to understand that we've been hoodwinked. And but what kills me about the global
Green Cross.
Well, Green Cross, that's Gorbachev, but in the States it's called Global Green, I believe. The Gorbachev Green Cross is also, they didn't call it Green Cross in the States, they called it Global Green, I believe. And if you want to really get ill, just go to Global Green and go through the headliners and that who have participated in that in the United States. And some people that you probably had a fair amount of respect for, you're going to freak out when you run into who all's been involved with that over the years. You have some people that are waving the flag, and people look up to them. And why, if you're flying and doing all this good work for America, then what in the hell are you doing headlining at Global Green? Mm. I mean, Gorbachev was the one that said if it's easy to fix the environmental problem, just kill 91% or whatever it is of the population. Boom, done.
Yeah.
Now we don't have an environmental problem.
Yeah, you know, well,
so
that goes
well,
right
I'll,
in line.
I'll tell you why. I know why there are so many influential people involved. It's because Rockefeller's money was funding it. Rockefeller was behind the creation of the IIASA.
Right. Up here in Canada, we have the IISD, which is the International Institute for Sustainable Development.
Yeah, I talk about it all the time.
and people in Winnipeg don't even know it's there, right?
Wow.
Canadians don't know this exists, right?
Well, neither do Americans. I mean, it's just as relevant here.
I'm setting up. I haven't put anything on the map yet, but, you know, we have David Suzuki up here, which is kind of your Al Gore down there. And Morris Strong was a butt boy for Rockefeller and whatnot. There's a movie. Have you guys ever seen this movie? It's called Survival of Spaceship Earth. You ever seen that?
I've heard of it. I haven't seen it. How about you, Vicki?
No, but I know the concept of spaceship is very important. One of Buckminster Fuller's books was...
That movie it came out just prior to the 1972 conference on the human environment in Stockholm, which was run by Morris Strong and Rockefeller and the boys. But in that movie, it was actually televised just prior to that on American television, probably Canadian television as well. And Raymond Burr, I think, was involved in narrating it. And a couple other people with introductions from some TV people. But it's amazing because it's like they made a movie and the listing of the actors, right? David Rockefeller, Morris Strong, all of these people who have always been involved in this. And it starts out with a speech or Rockefeller discussing a speech done by Nixon about the need to stop the population growth. But what they don't tell you is that Rockefeller actually was the chairman of the group that did the study on population. So really Nixon just read Rockefeller's stuff.
Yep.
But it's the most disgusting, evil movie you will ever watch. If you understand what you're watching,
I have to go.
It's actually on my blog, I think. As is America.
You got the movie.
It was another researcher from Ontario here, who she called me up one night, and we run into some weird stuff sometimes. And we went looking for it on the internet. We only found one spot, one YouTuber that had it. So we downloaded and re-uploaded it. I cut it a little bit. The one that's on mine, I cut a, 10 or 15 minutes out of it. It just didn't matter about the stuff, right? Filler, trying to shorten it up a little. I think I got down to 20 minutes or 25 minutes or something. But it's on my blog, Survival Spaceship Earth, as is America with a K. And I really recommend that. You can skip through it. It's 13 freaking hours long, but it nails it.
Mm-hmm.
After the Sovietization, right?
Yeah.
And there's a book I'd like to recommend as well, and it's called The New Despotism, written in 1928-29, by a chief justice in England who was warning back then about what was coming. And in that book, he said it's already begun to happen in Canada. And it's the mass bureaucracies, right?
Yeah.
So now non-elected people run the show. The elected just come in and go out, right? They're just puppets, kind of thing.
That's how we see it, don't we, Vicki?
Yeah. Absolutely. And
that's what it shows.
If you really want to know what's going on, you have to look at the administrative systems of government and who is controlling them. Because the whole green movement, the ecology movement, and Rockefeller's involvement in all of it was control of energy. And if you take things down to bare bones, if you control energy, you control the world. That's it.
Well, or you can go as Kissinger, because there apparently were no grocery stores till after the Second World War, and Kissinger says control the food, control the people, control the health, control the people, right? I mean, it's all about control.
Yep.
You know, that's all it's about.
Yeah,
and none of that control is to our benefit.
That's true.
Right? So,
you know, there's a part of it that people are able to go to the store now and get whatever they want. And that's beneficial in the sense of convenience. But what we've lost over the years of being able to do that, people used to grow their own food. They used to be ruggedly independent. And now, and that was, independence at one time was considered a part of national security. I mean, I don't think people really thought about it. It was just what people did because people had to survive. Now, if we get into a mess where the grocery stores, there's a run on the stores, or inflation spikes, just before we were going into the top of the hour break last hour, I was playing audio from the billionaire investor Jim Rogers, where he's saying there's going to be a collapse, and he believes it's going to come later on this year or next. I mean, this guy isn't somebody to blow off. He's a big time investor, and he sees the writing on the wall. We've seen it for years.
The only reason that we're going to have a collapse, okay, is they're pushing. It's all about complete control, and they're pushing the guaranteed basic income, or whatever they call it.
Yes, I've noticed
and,
that.
They're going to do a run on your money if you got money in the bank, like they did in Greece or wherever. They're going to pull that off. All you got to do, whatever's going on in the East will eventually show up here. You know, we have anywhere from a 6 months to a 2 year run.
Yep.
Difference. So it's not hard to see what the plan is. But they desperately want that universal basic income. So you know, more people are ending up on the street. More people can't afford to live in their homes anymore, and so on and so forth. So they create the problem, which is poverty and stress, and then they bring up the solution, which is the guaranteed income. The problem with the guaranteed income, you're used as your surety, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, the countries went bankrupt. What are we going to print the money against you? So you're liable for all the debt, and now it's debted out, all right? You can't, they raise the debt level to the point it's impossible to ever get out from underneath of it, even though there is no debt because it's a fraud, and you can't profit from fraud. Therefore, there is no debt.
Right.
But beside that, mentally, people think there's a debt. So we can't, as our population actually isn't really growing except for immigration, because they've got everybody down to one child or no children now. We don't even have a replacement value.
Well, the smarter people won't reproduce anyway.
Yeah, but I just want to do this really quick. This international thing is that you're the surety for the debt. It used to be gold was the backer, and now you're the backer, and you can't produce enough to pay the debt. And they did that on purpose, because the whole idea in this in ecology is they monetized everything. So the idea of, and it's the United Nations is a tax-exempt foundation. It was set up by the tax-exempt foundations, is run by the tax-exempt, and it is a tax-exempt foundation. So the idea of the ecology saying that we're using too much of the resources is for them to take control of all of the resources.
Yep.
Okay,
they've got to set up a market.
But that's what's going to back the guaranteed income. Now, the problem with that is now you don't have control over your own resource base in your own nation. And then you got to go back to the United Nations Human Rights, which says everyone has the right to adequate housing.
There
food,
you go.
Yodi, yodi, yo. Okay, so the tax exempt foundation, they're the ones that decide what's adequate. Now, if there's an earthquake or something bad happens, they'll say, we have to cut back on your food, or we have to cut back on your electricity, because they put everything in the pool, and that's how a tax-exempt foundation works, and that only the interest from what's in that pool is to be sent out. Okay? So yeah. You can see how they're going to run their... It's all part of the depopulation thing, right?
Absolutely it is.
So, yeah. You know, it's ugly.
Yeah, it is ugly. And you're right on the adequate. I noticed that, too. I'm sure Vicky did, too. You know, barely enough to meet the need. That's what adequate is. Mm-hmm. And they use that word all throughout all their documents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
and what people don't understand is, and the one word I hate more than anything else is the word human.
Yeah.
Because I'm not a human, I'm a man.
Well, yeah,
I was in court one day, and the Crown goes, "Your Honor, we're all human." And I just went over to the Crown, stuck my finger in his nose, "Don't ever call me a human, you twit." Right? Because a human, by definition, is an animal. And yeah. What they've done is they put us in the position of animals.
Who, man?
And they can do whatever the hell they want with an animal. Right?
Well, here's the thing. I think that is one of these legal statuses, you know, getting into this whole idea of the courts and law and everything. Because as I read these UN documents, they talk about human as if they aren't a part of that group.
No, they see, God created man, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, man created the legal system. Two words you will not find in the King James Bible. I bring that up because that's the book that Elizabeth took the oath on in order to become the queen. Okay, and that's supposed to be the law book. But the two words you won't find are legal and law, or legal and human, because both are color of, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
And they were both made up. So the men put us as the status of animal. Because God gave man dominion, they became, they stayed the men, we're the animals, and they got dominion over us. And that has to change.
The whole system of charitable foundations was set up under Queen Elizabeth. Elizabeth 43. I have a copy of it. I'll make sure and give a link to it.
Yeah, send it over so we can add it to the show notes. And you too, Ron, if you have anything you want us to put in the show notes, I'm always trying to... you can email it to me, you know, at radio@governamerica.com, and we'll add it in there.
Yeah, you guys got a pretty good handle on this, but, you know, like, when I study this, you know, it was the divine right of kings. When you study that, you know, it was, the kings and queens were to act as proxies of God. In other words, they only had the authority to rule if they stayed with the oath. Once they broke their oath, which is uphold the law, as per, they move to tyranny. And mm-hmm. if you look at the legal system, it is the definition of tyranny. It is the color and what? Force of law.
Yep.
Okay? And that is tyranny. And the legal system is tyranny. It's an adversarial system. You know, the juries have basically, at least here in Canada, juries have basically disappeared here. Law states.
So they don't use juries in criminal trials or anything like that anymore?
Very seldom, right? The murder trial, which is a little bit different, but in most everything else, there's no juries here.
Interesting.
And they said, you know, they put it down for expedience, right?
Yeah. Well, they do that here, too. Civil cases are mostly decided by magistrate judges, and a magistrate judge is just a civil service employee that works for the executive branch. So naturally they're going to find in favor of, you know, whatever the governmental agenda is, even though it doesn't appear to be to us.
It's absolute conflict of interest. If the government's paying the judge, it's a total conflict of interest. Because he took an oath to the state, right? And the other problem with you have a judge, a single man or woman, making a decision, it boils down to, like, did you have a bad day yesterday, right? Did one of your children die? Are you pissed at your neighbor? You know, or are you having a happy day, right?
In our country, our judges take an oath to uphold the Constitution, but they have their fingers crossed when they're doing it. They don't mean it because they don't do it. So.
We're almost out of time here, I guess. I just want to put in a word for Michael Schmidt.
Yes, I was just going to ask you about that.
Yeah, I'm actually sitting here with a huge mug of I made myself a banana raw milk milkshake just before the show, and I'm enjoying this, and it's bloody tasty. And you're in rural Michigan, so you understand the difference between a grass-fed cow and a corn-soya-fed cow. Mm-hmm. But this is it. They don't want you healthy. So Michael Schmidt, they started a co-op back in, I guess, 23, 24 years ago.
Wow.
And they've been in court basically ever since. They've been raided over and over and over again. And the government says you don't even need to drink raw milk. If I should sneeze on you, Darren, after drinking raw milk, well, then you, my friend, could die. This is the propaganda they put out.
Yeah, ridiculous.
It is. It's absolutely ridiculous. But, Michael Schmidt is, first time I met him was about 10 years ago. When I met him, all I had to ask him to, I said, what are you up to here? Is this just a fight, or is this a moral fight? He's a moral fight. I said, good, glad to know you. Let's go. And we'll beat this into the ground eventually. The last 3 weeks I've been in court more, I think, I've been out of court.
Is there a lot of support up there? I mean, is there a network of people that are backing him? Not just,
Well, there's all kinds of raw milk farmers, they're looking at him as the head man kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, he's had to divest himself of all his land. He owns nothing.
Wow.
Right? He's still at the farm, but he's just an employee of the co-op now. He's determined. And that's what we need, is more people that are determined. People say, oh, well, you can't fight City Hall. Well, you'd be getting beat up by these guys, right? So you got to fight them.
Yeah.
And if I could leave one bit of thought process before we're gone, I would really like all the people that are bitching and complaining about what's going on to step up to the plate. What people don't seem to understand, they think the state and the federal governments have the power. They do not have the power. The power lays in the people, and the people are in the municipalities,
mm-hmm.
or the counties, whatever you want to call them. And there is where the power is, okay? Because that's where the people are. The only place you or anyone else can make any real difference is where your boots are,
yep.
where you live. And the beauty of where you live is where your municipal council's sitting.
Yep.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I like math, and math is quite simple. If you have five councilors, seven councilors, you run three for every one of theirs. Because you need majority vote. You can't make change without majority vote. And the majority vote at the local level is power. And it costs you like $100 or something to run for local council, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's accessible, it's inexpensive, and it's powerful.
Yeah, and even then, you need numbers. Even then, the more numbers that you have, the greater the impact you have.
The thing is, if you get one counselor in, and your city managers or your CAOs are trained to implement the international Soviet agenda, whatever you want to call it, the globalist agenda, UN agenda, they are specifically schooled to do that.
Mm-hmm.
They are the ones that set the agendas for the council. Most council members came from community things, like either teachers or this or that. And they're all on board with this, call them leftists, whatever you want to call them. So, to set one person in there in amongst these clowns, you're not going to really accomplish much. You got to get majority.
Yep.
So you got seven counselors. You only need four, right? And the other beauty of running 3-1 is now that your message overpowers their message. And people are getting their backs pushed up against the wall hard enough now that they're willing to listen to your message.
Exactly. Amen.
Right?
Couldn't agree more.
So this is where we take it back. And we're going to win this, guys. Right? We're going to win it.
We have no choice, Ron. We have no choice.
It. We're supposed to win it. All we got to do is do it.
That's right.
Right.
Well, and that's the point. I appreciate that inspirational message because that's really where we need to be. There's strength in numbers, and the more people that we have working together instead of fighting at each other and certainly shooting bullets
that's
at each other.
This last thing. We don't want to give them violence.
Yes.
Okay? Because what they want is us to get violent.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because that's their trigger.
Yep.
Right? To come in.
That's
so
right.
We don't give it to them.
Amen.
Okay? We're going to stand just like they did down to the Bundy Ranch. Okay?
Yes.
We're going to stand solid together, take back the local power. We take back our nations. Period.
Amen. Very good note to end on. Hey, thanks,
Hopefully
Ron.
Hopefully you don't live in a town with a community college.
We're going to start some new community colleges. Darren and Vicki, I so much appreciate this, and I so much enjoyed it.
Yeah, we'll have you back.
Could have done this for another bunch of time.
Yeah.
But take care, and thanks for having
me on. We'll do it again. Thank you very much,
Ron. Viva Michigan, right?
Yep, that's right.
Okay, take care, guys.
All right, blessings, Ron.
Okay.
Thanks a lot. And it's canadiantruths.wordpress.com is his website. Check out his radio program on UCY.TV, Rock the Boat Radio. Again, that's canadiantruths.wordpress.com. Hey, thanks, Vicki. I think it was a great, great show.
Mm-hmm. Always. I always enjoy doing radio with you.
All right. And me too. And thanks, listeners. God bless you, folks. And we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.